you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
What is up, my fellow addicts? Ralph Sutton, the SDR show. I am somewhat getting over a cold. Hope to feel a little bit better soon. But really quickly, we are doing a great episode this week with 80s icon band Vixen. We're talking both to the lead singer and the guitarist. Really cool chickadoos, and they're out on tour right now. Great episode. Remember, we do this show every single Wednesday, every single Saturday, 9 p.m. Eastern time. This week, it is Vixen. And remember, use that code SDR. You get 20% off the entire network, a seven-day free trial. Those of you that subscribed during our last big promotion with the Frisbees that we did over the holiday weekend, those are going out next week, so kudos to you. We always do new silly little promotions, but that's no reason not to subscribe now. Go to gasdigitalnetwork.com, use the code SDR, or remember what we care about most. Not only do you share the show wherever you can, I don't care where you listen. If you go to youtube.com/the SDR show, or you listen wherever you listen, that's all I care about, and supporting our sponsors. So right now, here it is, the brand new episode with the 80s icons Vixen on the SDR show.
This is the intro to the shit show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll. This is a hit show. Show me a tit show. Please, someone walk the hole. It's beat, I beat. It's hookers and blow. It's art, it's art. You need to know. The SDR show. Let's go.
It is the SDR show. Sex, drugs, and rock and roll show. I am Ralph Sutton, back once again. For some reason, I feel my voice sounds very bassy today, James. You hear that or no?
No, man, I think it sounds like a work of art, bro.
Well, that's a given. I get that. But I'm just saying, for some reason, it sounds to me more bassy than it usually does.
Yeah, it does kind of sound like Chuck D in 89.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's weird. Yeah. And people think I'm putting on a voice or I have extra bass on my microphone, but I don't know what it is. I think I'm getting old and falling apart, and that's what's happening. James Madden is back once again. Thank you so much, James, for being on the show. Shannon is in her place in SI. Did anyone call it SI or no?
Only losers.
Whoa. Pow. Zoom. Staten Island. Sorry. No one ever says SI?
If I'm like texting, okay. Just to like save the time of writing out, but that's really it.
All right. Fair enough. All right. So right now, it's a very interesting woman. Why? I'll tell you this. Okay. Here's what I know about you. It's Britt Lightning, the newest member of Vixen. You're probably 20 years younger than everyone else in the group, I would imagine. Let's start with that, right? I know you played with a band a while ago, which I love this name. It was a Guns N' Roses all-chick band called Paradise Kitty. Very good name, smart name. And then also you played a little bit with Jason Derulo and all these other people. So I would like to start with, we just got Lorraine Lewis joining us too. Great, so that's awesome. We'll start with you, Britt, and then we'll move to Lorraine. But Britt, how did you even find out about the band? How did you even know? I mean, you're too young to know the band. How did that all come about? We'll start there.
Okay. Well, first of all, thank you for having me. Happy to be here. So I knew of Vixen. I was inspired by Vixen. And that's because I started playing guitar. Yeah. When I was about 15, but I was super into 80s hair bands and just awesome, fun rock and roll with great guitar solos. I kind of grew up in the grunge era, and like playing along to Nirvana and stuff like that was just not inspiring to me. And I loved just powerful women in rock and roll. And so there weren't many to look up to, you know, as far as all female bands. There was like the Runaways, and there was Vixen. And so Vixen was an inspiration. So I was very aware of them.
Did you have an older brother, or was it your father who actually, you know, opened your ears?
No, nobody actually. I'm the oldest, and it's just me and my younger sister, and my parents are completely non-musical. I can't stress that enough. No rhythm, no tone deaf. So that's, I don't know, fine. Where this all came from. But no, you know, I had heard Eruption. I was actually in a store comforter shopping with my mom, like just being dragged around one summer. And I heard Eruption come on the radio, and I don't know if I was in this like boredom trance or what it was, but it just like spoke to me and affected me so much that I was just like, who is this? What is this? And my mom was like, I don't know. Do you like this comforter or this comforter? And so I was like,
I your mother never heard Van Halen.
She no, it's clueless. I don't know. Yeah. I mean, just not with it. as far as music goes, and
my mother's not with it for other reasons, but that's cool.
No, she still just sings along to like "Ain't No Mountain High Enough," and she—that's it. That's like
nothing wrong with that. Like,
no, it's cool. Yeah. But anyways, yeah. And I asked the store clerk. I was like, "What is this?" And they actually knew, and they were like, "This is Eddie Van Halen. This is from a band, Van Halen." I was like, "Okay, awesome." And so I was like, "Mom,
wait, I'm sorry. How old were you?"
I was 15.
Okay, because so I mean, if someone asked me who was Van Halen, I'm like. You know, who it's Van Halen, you fucking idiot. Like, how do you not know Van Halen? But I guess you're 15, so you let it slide.
Right, and I wasn't really, and I wasn't super into, I didn't know all my rock and roll at that point. Right, but I made up for it later. And so anyways, I said, Mom, I'm here at this stupid comforter store with you. You owe me a trip to the record store after this. And so she was like, okay, fine. And so I bought all the Van Halen records and started from there. And then from there, it was like, oh, other 80s bands and like Motley Crue and, you know, this and that. And then I just got super into all of that. And that's
were you ostracized and made fun of in high school because you're this young girl listening to dad's music? Like, that seems to be like, I'm, you know, I grew up in this era. So I grew up loving all these bands, you know. But for me, it was the of the moment music. It wasn't the 25, 30 years ago music.
Right. Well, you know, I did find a small little group of people that, you know, were into Metallica. So that was like our common thing. I was definitely the more 80s one. But then I did find somebody that was my concert buddy. It was like, we were always the youngest kids at all the concerts. And
actually, I mean, you're both the two newest members, I guess is the fair way to say it, of Vixen. Lorraine, you came from your own pedigree. I actually saw a Femme Fatale show when I was a kid, but then we met on the Monsters of Rock cruise a million years ago. For you, my question would be, how did you decide, okay, I'm leaving that chapter of my life or closing or at least putting it on hold for now, and I'm joining a group that has, you know, tons of people are very aware of the Vixen pedigree and know the songs and know the albums and know you, but now you're coming in sidestepping to Vixen. How did you decide to make that decision?
First of all, I'm excited to be here. Thank you for putting up with me being at the Hard Rock Hotel and music everywhere. So I'm stoked to be here with you guys today. I'm Britt. So great to see you. It's been forever. I can't wait till next weekend. We have our first show, you guys, after everything that's been going on.
Wait, stop there for one second. When you say I haven't seen you in so long, have you guys not been practicing together at all? And you're about to do tour dates.
Oh my God. We live all over the United States. It is the worst band setup ever. We got one in Florida. We got one in Detroit. We got me in LA. This one moved out of LA to Washington State, one in Nashville. So it has not been easy.
Sorry to cut you off to your answer, Lorraine, but how the fuck do you do that? If you're about to do a tour, you got to figure shit out, right? You got to map out your state, your set and everything.
Let me tell you, let's go back to the very first show we did in February, 2019. I jumped off a plane, got on stage, did the show. That's basically how it went. It was like boom, boom, boom. So that was no rehearsal together. I think that we're just all like, we're like this girl gang, right? Like we just kind of, I worked really hard to make sure that I had my shit to, can I say shit together?
You can, yeah. I just said how the fuck. So yeah, of course you can.
So I just want to make sure that I have together. Even stepped on stage with the girls because I wanted to honor the music. I mean, I've always been a Vixen fan and I really wanted to do it justice. So I was ready to go lyrically, vocally. I was ready. And we just basically saw each other at soundcheck. Like it was like 1, 2, 3. We just started playing and it all worked. So we're the kind of band of, yes, it would be ideal if we could all live in the band house together and jam together 24/7, but it's just not set up that way. Right. So we just, it just works. We're like, we're glue. We're already like sisters in rock and it just comes really naturally. So yes, ideally it would be fantastic to have, you know, 3 days a week that we rehearse together, but it's just not the way it is. And everybody went through 2020 and it is what it is. We're ready to jump on stage. I'm ready to go. I know Britt's ready to go.
We basically, we all just have to do our homework and don't fuck up. And those are the rules to go by. And nobody.
I have that same set of rules in my bedroom door, by the way. Do your homework and don't fuck up. Lorraine, but you, the first part of that question was to say to say, okay, my, because when I saw you on Monster Rock, I don't know if you were doing solo or with Femme Fatale or whatnot, but you were not in Vixen at the time. So how did you make that decision to join Vixen?
Well, the crazy thing is that honestly, the night before Roxy called me to join, I had actually reached out to my booking agent to tell him I was done with Femme Fatale. Like I just had enough, a lot on my shoulders. You know, I have a really good day job, love of my life. And I was just like, we had a really good run, 6 years with the girls, and I just felt done. And so I called him to tell him, and the very next day, Roxy called me and asked me if I'd be the lead singer of Vixen. That's honest to God how it happened. And I was like, oh, this is so weird, because I just called Sullivan last night and told him I'm done.
Oh, Sullivan Biggs? You work with Sullivan? I know Sullivan for fucking 25 years. That's so funny. That's a good dude.
Sullivan's the best.
He's the best. So it was one of those things where, I mean, I was really done with Femme. You know, I've had a great run and I was ready to say goodbye. And Roxy called and I told her I was done. And she was like, what do you mean done? And I'm like, I'm done, done. She's like, done what? And so I said, I'm done with Femme. I'm done with singing. I'm just going to like chill. And she's like, no, you're not. You're going to join Vixen. And so she presented, you know, what was going on. And I told her I was going to think about it, talk with my husband, figure it out, and make sure that I could hit some of those soaring notes that Vixen is famous for. And when I felt that I could do that and all the everything fit into place, I called and said, let's do this. So it wasn't that hard of a decision because I had really put Femme to bed at that time.
Oh, well, that makes it a lot easier, I would imagine. And it's also, not to get into too much of the history, but Vixen was known for a pretty tumultuous last 15, 20 years where there was one album where I think the only original member was maybe Cher. I don't remember, but like it was always like in and out. And then unfortunately, one member passed away. And then the leads, it's just been always somewhat like you didn't know who was going to be in the group the next time they toured. But it's funny is that if you go back to, fuck, I'm going to say 2001 or something, the entire band, all original members, came into my old radio show called The Tour Bus, and I would say I had a 20% chance that I think Roxy was hitting on me. I'm just going to say it. I think I had a chance, but it didn't happen. That's what I took from that.
Yeah, she's good with that. She loves you.
I think so. So now I would imagine, because I read that you guys are recording a record, so this is going to be the first record in, I think, a decade, but for certainly the first studio record with both of you.
Yes, we can't wait.
We can't wait. We've been working on music. And, you know, this past year, things have been so disjointed with everybody living everywhere and not being able to travel. Britt and I have been pretty good about getting together on Zoom and working things out. Roxy has been writing. We've all been writing separately and then together as well. So, you know, we're still, things are in the works. We're not ready to release anything right now, but I'm hoping that now that we're going to be kicking shows into gear, the glue will start happening again and we'll be able to get some stuff recorded together as a band.
It's pretty crazy to go from leaving the business to recording a new record in the same year and a half or so, or 2 years, whatever that is. That's a pretty big 180.
My life has been like this. I've worn many, many hats in my life, and I never stop. I always look to the future. I'm never going to stop, and my life is really good and full and fabulous, and I'm so thrilled to be the singer of Vixen. I mean, I'm so stoked to be carrying on the legacy of the band. So I'm honored and just want to keep rocking.
Britt, will this be the first album that you've... I got to refocus my camera. Hold on. There we go. Much better. Okay. Britt, will this be the first album that you're recording at all? I forget about, I know you've done other things. You've been in bands and stuff, but have you recorded a record?
Yeah, I have recorded a record with my own band. And then I've done, yeah, I guess most records I'm on are live, which is kind of funny.
Right. I know you've done some live records, but I mean, actually, yeah, like writing songs and releasing a studio album, have you've done already?
I have, but it's been like 10 years. Yeah.
10 years. You're like 30 something, aren't you? Yeah. Jesus. When did you start? When you were 9? That's nuts. When did you first pick up a guitar? Because you are relatively young.
Yeah. When I was, 15, summer before high school.
That day that you heard the eruption was the day, that week you went and got a guitar?
Yes. It changed me.
That's crazy. Wow.
Yeah.
James is our resident musician. I'm a terrible guitarist, but James is decent.
Well, decent is the nicest compliment Ralph has ever said of my music, ladies. Just so you know, and it's taken months for him to warm up to decent. So this is such a moral victory, and I'm glad you two get to witness this shit.
Yeah, I am what you call an asshole. I agree.
You know, I kind of like to say, though, Britt might be young in some senses, but she's rich in history and she's rich in knowledge and she's rich in rock and roll. I mean, she, you know, if you go back and look at her band Jaded.
I remember Jaded, actually.
I mean, come on now. I mean, she's one of us. That hands down is one of us.
That actually leads me to the very logical question, okay? You're both women, right? And for the most part, 80s rock, and even up until today, for the most part, it's predominantly a boys' club, right? I mean, it really is. There are, of course, exceptions here and there. But especially in your time, Lorraine, in the 80s, it was, 99% rock was men, I'm guessing? How difficult is it for both of you? Like, do you still feel that it's a boys' club? Or do you feel at this point, with the modern sensibility, it's not so much anymore? For both of you, I would ask that question.
Britt, I'll let you answer first because I definitely have an opinion.
And I'm sure you both had very different experiences because you're a different generation. But so you, Britt, first.
Well, I still do feel like it is a boys' club. It's definitely more male dominated. People just assume, like, I don't know how to set up my equipment that I'm bringing on stage. Like, do you know what to do with that? Like, sure. Of course I know what to do with that. That's why I have it. Like, what are you doing? But, you know, at the same time, I'm not like a feminist or anything like that. I like the chivalrous, is that the right word? Side of God. Like, I don't get annoyed if a guy holds a door open for me. Like, thank you. Like, I want that. And like, yeah, I would love for you to offer to carry my equipment. Absolutely. Bring it on. So like, you know, I'm all good with that. And I don't mind people assuming that I don't, you know, I'm an unassuming person anyways. I don't think I have an ego. I don't like go, you know, talking about how great I am at anything. And so, you know, I think when people have like an opinion that guys think, you know, women don't know what they're doing. They're always like surprised. And like, I don't mind that. Sure. You can be surprised. Like, let me change your mind.
You know? It's funny. I might be wrong with this, but I think it was you and I could be wrong. So I apologize. But on your Instagram once, I think you were wearing a Vixen t-shirt. And some dude said, I bet you don't even know a single song. Like, just crying. There's a term for that. Like, I forget what it's called, but like when a girl wears a Van Halen shirt or a Guns, you go, you don't know any of those songs. You're just wearing the shirt because you think it's cool. And they were trying to shame you.
Poser.
A poser, but like when a guy calls out a girl to name the songs, there is a term for that. I don't know what it's called, but
There is.
I guarantee you there is. I can tell you that. I know for sure. And I think that happened to you where a guy said that on your Instagram and didn't realize you were the fucking guitarist in Vixen.
Yeah, see, I love that. Bring on the stupidity. It's okay.
All right, before we go any further, I love this sponsor. It is Yo Kratom. We've been talking about them for a while. One of my friends, every time he calls me up, he goes, Kratom, because he loves Kratom. And it's just the way it is these days. You either know about it or you don't. And when you do, you know about Yo Kratom. And they are the home of the $60 kilo. YoKratom.com. It's just simple and easy. You head over to YoKratom. They have all these custom strains. They make it easy for you. It's wholesale prices, but high quality kilos of Kratom. The $60 kilo is what they are known for. And we've heard back from everybody that's used them. Just super high quality, great fast turnarounds in the order. And it just makes you happy. If you're a fan of Kratom, that's all you need to know. What I love about it is just that simple. Just go to YoKratom.com. Another company that says we don't even need promo codes because we know we have the best prices out there. So you just go to YoKratom.com, get yourself a $60 kilo, and say, hey, thanks for hooking me up there, YoKratom. All right, let's get back into it.
And Lorraine, let's see, because you definitely came up in a much more, not only boys club, but in the world where men thought women had no rights, basically. So you probably had a much more difficult time, I would imagine.
Well, here's the thing. You know, I've always just been myself, right? So it doesn't really matter what a guy says to me or a female. Like, it doesn't matter to me. you know, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. And I've always had my path and I was always going for it. But I will say, you know, back in the day, you know, Lita Ford, Doro Pesch, Vixen, you know, when I would walk into a radio station and if I saw Lita's poster on the wall, I knew we weren't going to get that station because they were already playing Lita and they
wow.
were play one female a day. Like that was it. Like one spin, maybe two spins a day. Like that was kind of how radio was. And I think, you know, so for me, it's totally different, I think, you know, but things have not changed that much. I mean, I've heard in the country music industry, it's still the same. It's a boys club. But, you know, so for me, it was like, yeah, that was the truth. And that's how it was. And so whenever we would get to a radio station, there were no posters on the wall or maybe Guns N' Roses was there. Awesome. We had a chance to get that radio station. And then you did all this stuff. You went out to dinner. You did all the PR and whatever else went on behind the scenes. I have no idea. I know nothing. But try to radio stations. And that was part of the fun of being in the business is making those friendships and those connections and getting on the radio and all that. But, you know, to me, chauvinism doesn't really exist in my world. I mean, especially at my age, I'm like, I don't care.
Right. Right. You know? I mean, I don't let Shannon speak unless I give her permission. That's how we do this show.
But, you know, but I am, you know, I'm not an over feminine or anything like that. I'm a Lorrainist, maybe, you know, like I just want to be me. And if you don't do what I do, that's okay. But I'm still going to do what I do. And if you have an opinion, that's fine. Like it's all right. Just don't get in my way because I'm going to keep living my life and doing what I want to do. So, you know.
But, well, what's funny is that, so I'm very good friends with the singer of a band, of the band Living Color, right? Which is Corey Glover, known him for forever. And very often it was the same thing. And I guess you would have, I don't know if you experienced this, but they only put Living Color out on tour with other black rock artists. Like they would never say, you know, Living Color and Guns N' Roses. Like they'd say, oh, Living Color and King's X or Living Color and, you know, Bad Brains, whoever, any band that had a black guy in it, that was who they grouped them with. And in the same respect, he said that to me once too, that if they were playing already other black rock artists, he knew it was going to be harder for their music to get on the air because that's just the way, you know, things that, you know, entitled white dudes never have to think about because it's not an issue for us, you know. Were you, Lorraine, back then encouraged to flirt with the guys, like the guys, the DJs and stuff, the ones making the decisions? Because you're a beautiful woman and this is 80s rock and roll. Did they say, hey, it wouldn't hurt to bat your eyelashes a little bit when we go through the door?
Here's the thing. Nobody had to tell me that. I mean, that's kind of who I am anyway. I'm a big flirt. So, you know, I've always been a flirt. So no one ever directed me to do anything like that. And I'll be honest with you. I mean, I never saw the casting couch. You know, everyone was.
Mine is, it's right there off camera. You can't see it.
Everyone was always respectful and always really cool. And maybe it's because I just carry myself with a confidence that, you know, don't fuck with me because I'm a cool chick. And like, you want to sit down and have a beer with me? Great. But, you know, I wasn't in the business to hook up with guys. I was in the business because I'm a musician and I'm a singer and I wanted to rock and roll. Did that stuff go on with... I don't really know. I mean, I had a really fortunate situation. I was managed by Howard Kaufman and they took really good care of me. I just didn't experience anything that weird as far as sexism. But I will say at the same time, I was putting it out there. It was the 80s, man.
Right. It's the 80s. I mean, I remember your album cover pretty well. So yes, of course. Now, Lorraine, you were offered the job. Britt, did you have to audition or did they know you were ready? Like, how did you get into the group?
I did audition. The manager had seen me perform with Paradise Kitty, actually. And I think had called up Sharon Roxy and were like, I think I found a good guitar player. And I, at the same time, I had been recommended by a few people. So my name was kind of buzzing around there. And yeah, I actually played the Monsters of Rock cruise with Paradise Kitty. And then that landed in Florida. And so I met Roxy and Cher down in Florida and auditioned with them down there.
That's wild. By the way, there's some great cover bands that are all girls. There's the Iron Maidens. I like that.
Yes.
Les Zeppelin. Very funny. Hell's Bells for AC/DC. Paradise Kitty. I give you credit. That's a good one also. I'm trying to think. I know there's others. There's a few others.
There's Rocket Queen.
Is there Rocket Queen? Oh, that's a good one too. Rocket Queens or maybe.
AC/DC.
Is there really one?
What up?
That's a good one. That's a very good one.
I haven't heard a Black Sabbath one that's decent yet.
Black Sabbath is one.
Sabbath? Okay. Bitch. Oh, I like that. Yeah. That's a good
touchdown.
One.
Yeah.
I beat this one to death, but I was, and Shannon's going to give me an eye roll, but I did want to do one, not that I can play, where it was the lead singer was dressed as Moses, and all the guitarists and drummers were dressed as nuns, and it's called Nuns and Moses, and you do a Guns N' Roses cover band. Guns N'
Roses. Okay, I like that. That's kind of like the Black Sabbath. Is it Black Sabbath where they dress up like McDonald's
Big
characters?
Mac, yes, it's Mac.
Oh, yeah,
Sabbath.
Now that's cool.
And the first album was going to be called Appetite for Resurrection, and I think that it writes itself, is what I'm saying. Shannon wants to punch me. I can see it in her face.
I wanted a band that did Who covers that were magicians. Motherfucking Houdini. What up?
Oh, that's good.
Oh.
I wanted to
do
a cruise with Iron Maiden and call it the Iron Maiden Voyage. That would have been great, but they wouldn't do it. They didn't want to do a cruise, so that never happened. But that's a brilliant idea. By the way, off the air, I was saying, I have to mention this really quickly, how people are stupid, Shannon. I'm arguing with someone about nutrition, right? Not that I'm in great shape at all, but I've been trying to get into better shape, and this woman is arguing with me about how many calories you're supposed to take in a day, and she said, no man should ever take in more than 2,500 calories a day, right? And she goes, you don't know what you're talking about. I said, and she sent me an article that said the average man should never eat more than, I said, well, first of all, I'm almost 6'6", so let's not say average here. And number two, if you're sitting and doing nothing versus running every day, it's very fucking different scenario. And that just brings me back to the point, people are stupid. That's what I'm going to say. People are stupid.
We still love them. We love them. And I
speak for yourself, Lorraine.
With the people, and I can't wait to get back out there. Oh my God.
You're doing the Monsters on the Mountain, which is basically Monsters Rock Cruise, but in a stationary place, correct? That's what they're doing, because they're not the cruise is until February of next year, but in October it's a very similar lineup. We just had recently on, I think Wingers is going to be on there too, and we just had Kip on recently, but that's what this is, right? It's all the bands that Brit's too young to know but fell in love with later in life, and all the bands you came up with, Lorraine, correct?
Yes, and we cannot wait. It's going to be a blast, and I actually just found out about it a couple of weeks ago, and I think it's a great idea. I think that Larry Moran, who does the Monsters of Rock Cruise, you know, he's just,
I know Larry, yeah,
do something. Mm-hmm. And so, hey, why not rock and roll on a mountain? I think it's a great idea.
Let me ask you this, because you were a part of that universe back then and now. Are there bands that you had beef with or bands that you did not get along with that now that you are all older and wiser, you put it behind you? Like, I have to imagine, especially with the few slots of girl bands available, like you said, like a Lita station happens, you know, fucking Vixen's going to try and get in there, or Doro's going to try and work her way in the back door, or whatever. It had to be some tension.
Oh, I got along with everybody.
Say that now, Lorraine.
No, but I don't really, like, I mean, I thought Vixen was cool. Like, I was a little bit jealous, you know? I mean, I love being the only girl in an all-guy band, but I was like, how great to have a slumber party with girls every night. Like, that sounded fucking great.
You and me both.
You know?
Dreaming of it, ladies, if we want.
Oh, I thought that was great. And Lita, you know, Lita kind of is in her own world because she came from the Runaways. So it's right. Like, you know, respect where respect is due. Doro is amazing. Yeah,
she really is. I know we had Susie Quattro on the show not that long ago. She's also legendary. Oh, yeah.
So I really didn't have beef with, I'm trying to think if there was any, but I mean, we all really supported each other. The guy bands, I mean, there was a place on Oxnard Boulevard in the Valley that a lot of bands lived in Van Nuys. And when Bang Tango, they lived down the hall. When they got signed, we were stoked. It was a big party at the complex. I mean, you know, we all really supported each other because we were all just trying and hungry for the same thing, which is move to LA, get a record deal. And when people started recognizing the bands that we were friends with, that we would hang out with on the weekends, and they were getting
notoriety.
Notarized. When they were getting notoriety, it was amazing. And we all celebrated. I really, really believe that. I will tell you, if you're looking for some dirt, some weird things that happened, I can tell you a little bit about that. Okay. So
I was going to try and start shit like Lorraine says the Bengals are assholes or something like that, you know, just to get it out there.
That would be the greatest feud in the history of feuds. Let me just put it right out there. If you and Michelle
Hoff is a bitch or something like that, I don't know. Just throw it out there. Let's get some shit stirring.
Get it going.
I'll give you two things. First of all, I'm a huge fan of Lita Ford. I'm a huge fan of Hart. I was managed by Howard Kaufman, who managed Hart. He's very much responsible, and they might not agree, for them having their second surgeons. I mean, I used to follow them. You know how people are deadheads and they follow Grateful Dead? Mm-hmm. I was a Hart head. I went to so many Hart concerts because Anne is the voice, amazing, of all time. Killer. And Nancy rocking as guitar player, other than Britt. So basically, you know, I followed them everywhere. I was a huge fan. Howard Kaufman managed Hart. Howard Kaufman managed me. He was very much responsible for their 80s glam look that brought their boobs up and got them boob jobs and all of that stuff. And then they exploded, right?
With Shannon.
You know.
Sorry, continue.
So, 80s, Ralph. So basically what happened is, you know, I was super stoked. I was going to be managed by the same manager as Ann and Nancy Wilson. I couldn't believe it. Howard takes me to a show at Universal Amphitheater. I'm thinking I'm going to meet him and all this stuff. And I find out that they, you know, Ann really didn't want to meet me. And it was because she felt that I was too, she didn't use the word sexual. I was too in your face mm-hmm. with my sexuality, which, look, 30 years later, yes, I was.
It was of the time, though. So, I mean, not like you were doing anything that nobody else was doing, you know?
It was the vibe. It was what was going on with me and fun and in your face. And so, you know, she wasn't really a fan of mine. And that kind of broke my heart. And even to this day,
I get it. She broke her heart.
Oh.
So, Anne, it was
the pun machines today, baby.
Nancy, I would love to be your friend. I mean, I'm massively respectful of you guys, and I think you're amazing. So that happened, and that was kind of a super downer. But again, I mean, I have nothing bad to say about them. It was just the sign of the time. Right. They just thought I was too in your face. And that's not the first time I've heard that, and that's okay. And with Lita, you know, the horrible thing that happened with that is I was a huge Lita fan, and then Concrete Marketing got involved and did this whole marketing thing when my album, the first Femme Fatale record, was going to come out. And they did this horrible marketing that I didn't approve, and neither did the record company, that said, "Look out, Lita."
Oh, Jesus. They're starting shit. Wow, that's cool. That's really awful.
Nothing to do with that. It was a photo of me from the album with me looking tough and "Look out, Lita." And that was the marketing that went everywhere. And when I saw that, it was cringy. And I was mortified, and there was nothing I could do about it.
Yeah, because also, if you think about it, if it was a dude's record, they would never have a guy say, "Hey, look out, Axel." And the guy like, hey, you know, it would never happen. But because it was a women thing, they did it that way. That's really awful.
Correct. So that was a super bummer as well. But I think, you know, through the years, I mean, you know, I'm a casting producer now, is my day gig. And I actually was working on a reality show about Lita about 5 years ago. And we got friendly again. I mean, I don't talk to her all the time or anything, but we were actually working on a project together for a minute. So just nothing but love and respect for all ladies and anybody that is carrying the torch of 80s rock.
And so, Britt, let me ask you this. In the terms of you becoming a huge 80s rock fan young, now in an 80s rock band and touring with other legendary rock bands, do you fan out a little bit? You have to, right? I would imagine it gets a little overwhelming that you're seeing, you know, I don't know who else is on the, I think Alice Cooper is on the cruise, but I don't know who's on the mountain lineup too much. But there's some big names, I'm sure. You have to get super fucking excited.
Definitely. And even especially guitar players, like you mentioned, Winger, like Reb Beach, you know, like, oh, it's so cool. Like, I'm just like sitting here talking to Reb Beach. And yeah, you know, and like, that's how I learned everything from like him. I mean, I still can't play like him. But, you know, yeah, I definitely do fan out. And it's fun. It's like, I can't believe where, you know, since hearing Eruption, where it's how it's changed my life, where it's taken me.
One of the things that I would say that I've seen, and James, you've been in more newer rock shows than me, but in the 80s rock world, what I always liked were bands seem to, at least in this resurgence in the, you know, 90s forward, late 90s forward, bands would come out to see other bands. Like, I remember I was hosting a tour with like Cinderella and Firehouse and Warrant. You know, everybody sat around to watch Cinderella play. And I don't think you see that as much
in other types of music. Would you agree, James? Are you on board with that?
Yeah, I mean, it's the last time I saw something was like 99. I swear to God, where Eddie Vedder and Dennis Rodman, the infamous Dennis Rodman missing Bulls games, went to a Jane's Addiction show. And people were like puzzles, like, doesn't this fucker got to play the Pistons tomorrow? What's going on? And Eddie just drunk on wine. And that's the last time I remember anyone name checking anyone at a show.
Oh, that's funny. Years. That's really funny. We had not the name drop here, but we had Perry Farrell on the show not that long ago. Could not have been a nicer dude. Super fucking
love,
cool dude.
Love him.
All right, before we go any further, you know this sponsor. Why? They have been one of the longest running sponsors on the SDR show, and that is a great thing. It is Blue Chew. They make those chewables, the chewables from Blue Chew that make your pee-pee go in the right direction. I think you know what I'm talking about. They are discreet. They come in discreet packaging. They are chewable, so it means they happen faster. You can even take it on an empty stomach. You get an online physician consult for free. It's cheaper than the other two, so there's no reason not to head over to BlueChew.com and sign up for their chewables. There is literally no reason. If you're a dude that wants to feel more confident in the bedroom, if you just want to go a few extra rounds, whatever it is, Blue Chew is for you. At BlueChew.com, you get the first chewables with the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis. It only takes a few minutes to sign up over at BlueChew.com with an affiliated physician. And the best part is this. Your first order is free. Just free. Can't beat free. $5 shipping is what you pay, and that's it. BlueChew.com. Use the promo code SDR. You pay the $5 shipping, and then you and your partner, or you with some new broad, can chew it and do it. You know we love to do it. All right, let's get back into it.
Britt, did your love for music go past the 80s, or did you stick at the 80s and that's where your wheelhouse is?
80s and then backwards. I didn't really go forwards.
Really? But did you not play with Jason Derulo at one point, or is that wrong?
Oh, yeah, you know, I did. No, I love all music. I really do. I do love like some 90s bands like Alice in Chains and things like that, and modern stuff too. And I listen to everything. I like pop. I like, you know, I like it all. I like hip hop.
You sound apologetic the way you say that. I like pop.
No. not as much as rock, but I like it. And I'm really more even influenced by like 70s and 60s classic rock and stuff like that too. And I listen to it all. I'm diverse.
Stupid question, but it's just I've never asked this before. I don't believe it to female rock stars. In the male rock world, there are a plethora of groupies the girls that would do anything to get backstage, for the lack of a better term. We don't need to get into the nuances of it, but that's a general perceived concept. A lot of guys that got into rock and roll got into it for the chicks, right? You hear that story a lot. I don't imagine girls get into it for the wiener. I'm sure that doesn't happen. But B, and then tell me if that's any truth to that. Then B, do you have male groupies in the same way where they're like dying to get backstage to meet you guys in the hopes of hooking up with you guys? Does that make any sense?
You go first, Lorraine.
And please use the word wiener as wiener. Much as you
yeah,
can.
I tried to class it up a little bit, Jim. I tried to class it up a little bit. I don't know.
I mean, Jesus Christ, the wiener.
I will say, everybody loves Roxy. First, let me start there. Mm-hmm. Guys, like anytime you post a picture of Roxy, Roxy's so hot. Oh my God. I love
her. She's got a great ass. Best ass in the band. That's for sure. I'll put that out there.
Rocks away. I mean, she looks great from forward and behind. So yeah, she's amazing. So she has a lot of guys that comment all the time. And all the girls do. I mean, Cher's got a huge fan base. Guys drool over Britt. Yes, and guys in other bands want her to be, you know, on stage with them, and that we love that about Britt. Everybody loves Britt. So I think the answer is yes, probably. But I think that nowadays it's more they just want to hang out with us because we're fun and right.
Well, I think too. I think most people don't think they'll actually get with us. I think that that's like a pipe dream. But I will say I am the only single girl in the band, so I do get to reap any benefits if there are any in the crowds.
My hearing is a little bad, and for a second I thought you said, I get to rape. I'm like, what? But she said reap. It was much cooler.
They're all willing. They're all willing. It's never rape.
Yes.
Can I say this? Like, it seems like with dudes in rock bands and that, like the percentage of attractiveness is there. I once was at a Jennifer Finch of L7 was opening up, I think, for the Foo Fighters at a small place in Vegas. And the quality of creeps that were trying to holler at her during like the smoke break between bands was brutal. And it might have included a 19-year-old me, but that's another story.
Might have? I don't think it might have. I think you don't need to say that.
Well, see, that's the thing. Girls get all cute and dressed up for rock shows. And like, what does a guy do to like get all cute? I mean,
are you saying I don't look cute and dressed up for this right now? Is that what you're
implying? Sub pop shirt.
I showered for this.
right. Yeah. The equivalent for a girl like getting all sexy, showing cleavage, little mini skirt, high heels, stilettos is you showering. Yeah, right. Yes, That's what we get.
That took a solid 18 minutes. And also, Britt, yeah, I would say you probably can both answer this too, but there is no girl that gets into music for the dudes. You get in it because you want to play music. I guess that's probably.
Yeah, initially, yeah, but that doesn't hurt. I mean, no guy thinks like that since we play music, that's like a turnoff. It definitely helps.
Is it? Do you, as a guitarist, I would imagine if I'm an adequate guitarist, which I'm not, but if I was, I might just like, I have a friend, she's a somewhat famous actress. Guys that are not as famous as her that are acting would have a problem dating her. She always had a problem if the guy was not more famous than her. So in your respect, if you're a better guitarist than the guy, I imagine a lot of guys are going to be threatened by that.
Yeah, there is an intimidation factor. That's for sure. You kind of have to be the aggressor half the time because it's like, yeah. Wouldn't you say, Lorraine?
I'm speaking on you. I mean, I think guys are really intimidated by you because you're super fun and super cute and you know your shit. And so it's intimidating to be around, I think, for a lot of guys, you know, until they get to know you and realize how down to earth you are. So yeah, guys, give Britt a chance. She's hella cool.
I'm not looking for that. No.
Everybody. DM her dick pics. That's basically what Lorraine said. DM Britt dick pics. I think that's a good idea.
Wiener pics.
Wiener pics. God damn it, Ralph.
Sorry, I've got to class up this joint.
We're the new Peewee's Playhouse. We have a word of the day. It's wiener.
I'd love to see, by the way, Britt, like you looking to buy a guitar at like a guitar center and just like, and then some dude's like, let me show you how to play that. Like being condescending to you, not knowing who you are. That would be a great scene to see. I'm sure that's happened.
That's happened.
That's fucking awesome.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
All right, we got to wrap it up. So let's just do a couple things. It's vixenofficial.com, vixen_band on Instagram. In theory, a new album this year. Is that reasonable?
Possibly. At least a few singles. I'll say that.
Okay, maybe not a full album, but a few singles. And you're touring. You're going to be at the Monsters on the Mountain October 15th through 17th, and then the Monsters of Rock Cruise February 2022. We end the show. We didn't get to say this beforehand, so I apologize for throwing this at you. In the name of the show, Sex, Drugs, and Rock and Roll, we always end by asking our guests their first experience with all three.
The first time ever I saw concert, did drugs, had sex.
And we start with rock and roll, meaning the first concert you went to on your own volition, one you decided to go to on your own. We'll start with you, Britt.
Okay. So I was in middle school or high school? It was early. And I wanted to go to see Bush and No Doubt. And I was already hanging with the wrong crowd and my parents were not cool with it. And anyways, they said I couldn't go. And I was like, are you kidding me? Like, I can't go? Like, really? I'm not like 8. And so that's when I learned never ask permission, just ask for forgiveness.
Right.
And so the next time, then there was this River Rave. I grew up in Boston. It was like the River Rave Fest, WBCN's River Rave. And it was like Godsmack and STP, Stone Temple Pilots, were my favorite band at the time. And I, so we snuck out a group. We went unaccompanied. We, you know, got a joint. We were drinking beer. We were totally underage. It was in Foxborough Stadium, and we had like high seating up in the, you know, the seats. And I was like, oh my God, I can't believe we're not down on the floor. And so there was this thing that happened where everybody started rushing the barricades and jumping over onto the field. And so I was like, awesome. And so we were like, we got to do this. And we were all fucked up anyways, and weren't used to smoking weed. So we're definitely like a little out there. And so we jumped the gates, this like big tattooed guy, like threw, where was hoisting people over. And I was like, this is so awesome. And all of a sudden the police come and they are arresting people, but I had already jumped. I didn't see the police beforehand.
Wait, not arresting that, for getting too close?
No, for jumping the barricades. They were trying to hold, like, it was a big waterfall of people going over the thing, and they were trying to hold people back from rushing like the stage and too many people being down on the floor at general admission. And I got so much pepper spray right in my face
that
I didn't get arrested, and I fell, and I had, and we were out in the sun all day. And so my face was so sunburned, and pepper spray on sunburn is a bad combo. And I was like, oh my God, I'm blind. And I like went into the mosh pit and just like rolled up in a ball, and somebody gave me water. And about like, I don't know, an hour later, I could like see and hear again. And I was back at the concert, and it was the best. And I crowd surfed for the first time, and I lost all my friends, somehow made it home. And my parents never knew I went. And it was like the craziest experience for my first concert.
And your mother's like, why do you have sunburn and pepper spray in your face? Like, I don't know. I was walking down the street. Some maniac sprayed me.
Exactly.
That's pretty crazy. That's a great first concert. Lorraine, your first concert?
My first concert was, are you ready? Drum roll. Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young.
Wow.
Cool.
The great one.
Oh.
Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was in the eighth grade. I went with my best friend, Faye. Her father was a judge in my hometown. We decided to get a Wesson Oil bottle. They used to have Wesson Oil that you could make your own salad dressings in.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that bottle. I cleaned it out as best as I could, but it was still kind of oily. And I went to my parents' liquor cabinet, and I put all sorts of alcohol in it, just mixed up a bunch of nonsense and snuck it in with me.
Did you think that they wouldn't question why a bottle of salad oil was in your fucking purse?
They didn't even, back then, they didn't even check.
Oh, okay. But then why go through the charade? Why not just?
You just walked into the concert with some, like, kind of in your pocket, and nobody did anything.
Okay.
We're drinking. It's Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young. It's the most amazing night, having a blast with my bestie. And then her dad comes and picks us up. He's got an orange truck. We're waiting for him. We're totally smashed on this watery, oily alcohol.
And coincidentally, he's holding a bottle of vinegar. And it's like, I've got an idea.
Exactly. And I now have my own business with that line, by the way, and I'm selling it. No, not really. But so we drink that, and it's kind of crazy. He comes, he picks us up, and we're in the back of the bed of the truck, and we are laughing and rolling around and just fucked up. She gets home. He drops me off at my parents. The very next day, she calls me, and she's like, oh my God, shit went down. My dad just signed me up for an all-girls school. Like, it's over. He burned.
Oh, shit.
In the backyard last night after the concert. I cannot hang out with you anymore. Like, we were campfire girls together, and it was over. It wasn't just me being a bad influence. It was two young girls having a blast, and we just got in trouble. And her dad was a judge and decided this is not the route I want my daughter to go on. Burned her jeans, signed her up for an all-girls school, and that was that.
At one point, did the judge say to her, that girl, Lorraine, she's quite the femme fatale? And you're like, aha!
I'll take that. Yeah.
Now, the first drug you ever did, Britt, ideally after weed, unless you've never done anything worse than weed.
Okay, I have a good story. Not that this happened, not that I do drugs, anybody out there watching, but the first time I did a blow was at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, in that the is fucking great.
So that was, you can't, when in Rome.
Wow. Right? So you were there for a party?
Yeah.
Were you playing?
No. Oh, yeah, well, playing, but not that kind of playing.
That's crazy. Wow. And you were just like, you know what? Fuck it. How old were you?
Yeah, I was young. But no, I was over 18.
Okay.
I think, maybe 19.
That's crazy. That is a good one. Playboy Mansion. That's fucking awesome. Jesus Christ. Lorraine, the drug you did after pot, unless pot's the worst drug you ever did?
I definitely had a run with cocaine. I was in college back then, and I was dating, I'm just going to say it. I was dating the head of the council there, of the university, and he was the biggest one. Campus. That's why he was so popular. And
why you graduated with straight A's. Continue.
Exactly. And I in my college days, lots of coke, like not like just little lines, like mounds of coke.
Wow. Well, that was the time to do it, right?
But, it was super fun. And I felt like it just like opened up my mind. I don't know. Whenever I would do it, I felt like I was like my eyes were big and my mind was blown and I was on the planet, and I loved it, and it was really fun, but it was pretty short-lived, and that was actually before I got, really got into music. So like on tour and everything with Femme, it was a shot of Jack Corona back is what I had every night. It was kind of my thing.
I'm just spitballing here. Maybe you guys should do some massive lines of coke before you write the next Vixen record. Who knows?
I think that's what we're missing, Lorraine. That's what's been wrong this whole damn time.
And Britt, now the first time you had sex, was it also at the Playboy Mansion? Because that would be cool.
No. I think you need experience before going there. I think that was a good thing.
They didn't check at the door.
Yeah. Are you a virgin? Get out of here. No. No. Okay. So I was living at home, high school, whatever. And I was dating this guy, that was in college. He was older than me. He kind of looked like Bret Michaels in a way. He was also stuck in the '80s. He had tattoos and like long blonde hair. And, so needless to say, my parents hated him. And true story, the first time he did come over, my dad was actually cleaning his gun and it was unplanned. And it was like, and he was like, holy shit. So anyways, never had him over my house and had sex with him there, but we did rent a motel. And it was up, and anybody that knows the area, Hampton Beach, like there's a lot of shows at Hampton Beach Casino Ballroom, and that was like a hang spot. And so we went up to the beach and got a terrible motel up there, and the whole thing was terrible. But I was like, I'm cool. I thought I got away with the whole thing, said I was at my girlfriend's house. Well, my mom was still doing my laundry at the time, and I had a receipt from up there in my jeans shorts pocket, and she found out, and I was so grounded.
Hey, how old were you? You didn't say how old. You said he was in college. How old were you?
Yeah, I was like, I guess maybe 16, 17. Yes.
Wow.
17, I think 17. Yeah.
And you got grounded because you got a receipt. You left a paper trail.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Gets you every time.
Amateur. Yeah.
Never ask for receipts. Let that be a lesson to you. All right, Lorraine, and you?
High school boyfriend, with him for a couple years. I was always no. And then, naturally one thing led to another. And then after the Fed, was nothing that exciting as Brits, but it was just kind of like the thing to do back then. And then after, we basically, he dumped me like soon after, and I was heartbroken. And then,
you think he played the long game to get into your pants and then dumped you?
Yeah. Go
wow. I give him credit where credit's due. Sticking it out.
So I got over the heartbreak, obviously, and then I joined a rock band called Femme Fatale, and did my thing and got on MTV, and he was freaking out because now I'm on MTV and it's over and done, and I was his first girlfriend and all that stuff, and na.
Did he try and get back to you? He goes, hey, remember that dating we used to do? Did he try it all?
No, I have no time for you.
No, that's great. That's a good. It's great to do that. I like hearing that. Good for you. And fuck that guy. Right. Let's do that. All right. So let's do this again.
Goddamn seller's remorse.
At @Vixen_band is the Instagram, vixenofficial.com. We mentioned a few of the tour dates, all the tour dates, and there's a bunch of them at vixenofficial.com. Am I leaving anything out before we go around and do the rest of the plugs? Did I not plug anything else? Ladies? No? We're good? Okay.
Oh, I think we're good.
James, your plugs, please.
Okay, man, the James Madden on the Instagrams. I got the Commissioner Comedy Podcast about the passion and the art form of comedy. Go on to Spotify and check out that song, and YouTube, Peanut Allergy, that song that Ralph is slowly okay with. By fucking October, he'll love it. I'll already be on something else. And look for my new album and special coming out, the Check Spot, where I do a question and answer while the crowd pays their bills. The worst part of a comedy show, the Check Spot. We just recorded it. Fuck yeah, baby. Dixon, this was dope. Yeah.
Now, Shannon, your plugs. I'm allowing you to speak now, Shannon. You may speak.
Thank you. You can follow me on Instagram and TikTok at ShannonLee6982 and listen to my podcast, The Thing Is. Ding. We talk about bad dates, fighting, and ghosts.
All right. Now, let's guess. Before I wrap this, Britt and Lorraine, do they believe in ghosts or not? I'm saying they both believe in ghosts. Shannon?
I think so, too, even James? Though Britt's face now is making me second guess it.
No, I'm the opposite. I was going to say Lorraine, yay. Britt, no. Britt shook a yes initially. So playing poker, I read what card she's got. I'm so going double yes.
Do you both believe in ghosts, yes or no?
I do.
Yeah, see, I nailed it. Pow.
Poker player, boom. Baby. Yeah. Poker right. player. Ching, ching, ching.
Right, follow me everywhere at I Am Ralph Sutton. And my other podcast on health and wellness is called The Good Sugar Podcast. My book, which was, I don't hold it up enough, reached top 100 on Amazon on health and wellness. And we will see you next week on the SDR Show. Yes, Lorraine.
Can I just say, follow Britt Lightning on Instagram. Britt, can you give your handle?
Britt Lightning. Britt with two T's. And lightning is spelled like lightning, not lighting.
Copy that.
Oh. People think that. They think they leave that. Out the end. They leave out the end. They think lightning and they write lighting. I'm telling you. That's back to people
maybe
are
you
stupid.
Like about opening a lamp store. Open a lamp store.
I know. Well, you know, that could be my future.
You never know. All right, let's pick a song. I'll let you guys.
Lorraine's trying to talk, Ralph.
I'm sorry, Lorraine. I'm sorry.
Jesus, let women talk, Ralph. God damn it's not 1983.
I didn't give that permission, James.
Or 2019 or 2020 or any of the past two centuries. Yes.
I'd love for you to also follow Roxy Petrucci Roxy. I believe it is on Instagram. You can Google it if I'm not correct. I apologize. Share Ross Rocks on Instagram and I am at Lorraine Rocks because that's what I do.
I like that you did equal opportunity plugs for everybody in the group. That's the way to roll. How about this? Britt, because you are the newest member, I guess, of the Lorraine, technically you're newer, right? Mm. I think. Right. Technically, right?
How we slice and dice it.
We add a song every week to our playlist. So why don't you pick a Vixen song to add to the playlist of the SDRshow.com?
Oh, that's a great idea. Britt, you go first and then I will.
I like How Much Love.
How Much Love. All right. Lorraine, do you have one you want to add?
I want to add. I mean, love is a killer, man.
I know that one, too. All right, so we'll do both of those, Love's a Killer, and we'll add it to our playlist. And everyone here, thank you so much for being part of the SDR Show, and we'll see you next week.
been listening to the SDR Show.
All right, you made it to the end of the episode of the SDR Show. And if you are a fan of the show, you probably know we're on the Gas Digital Network. And you probably know there are 20 other shows on the network, give or take. One of them that's been there since the beginning is Part of the Problem. You know the host, Dave Smith, from Legion of Skanks. This is his libertarian political talk show. It is doing phenomenally well on the network, but I think that maybe not all the STR fans know the show. So here it is right now, a clip from Part of the Problem on the Gas Digital Network. You can hear every episode if you subscribe using the code SDR, or just check them out everywhere you listen to podcasts. But here it is right now, a clip of Part of the Problem.
So let me address now on Part of the Problem what I mentioned on Rogan, which has gotten a lot of buzz and a lot of the Liberty Twitter and the libertarian community talking about this, is that I said, and I meant it, that I am seriously considering running for president on the Libertarian Party ticket for 2024. I'm thinking about this. A lot of people have been really trying to push me toward doing this. And the reason that I am considering doing this is simply because I just know how to message this shit the way it should be messaged. And if there's not going to be anybody else who can do that, then I'll step up and do it. But here's the thing. I'm only going to do it if my people are on board with me doing it. So if you want me to run for this, I'll do it. We could create something really big here, really inspire the Liberty movement to join the Libertarian Party, message the correct way, really force the conversation to go back toward things that matter, like ending the COVID lockdowns, ending the COVID regime, ending the foreign wars, auditing / ending the Federal Reserve, ending corporate welfare, the really important issues that libertarians have been right about this whole time. I'll do that, but what I need is a wave of you people joining the Libertarian Party. Now, I know a lot of you guys have already done this, but those of you guys who are on the fence, if you're down to do this, then we got to do this. And the real first step is to get Angela McArdle as the chair of the party. That's a very important step if we want to do this. Now, don't get me wrong in what I'm saying here. Angela is not my, how do I put this? It's not that Angela is my chair of the party. It's that she's our chair of the party. Maybe I'm saying this in the wrong way, but what I mean by this is that it's not like, oh, I want her there because she'll do what I ask her to do or something like that. What I'm saying is that we want her there because she's that damn good. She is that damn good of a libertarian. And to have someone that good in the highest position in the party, that will really set, like, lay the foundation for a really great campaign in 2024, whether it's me or anybody else. So that's the mission right now, is to get into the Libertarian Party, do everything you need to do to become a delegate. Doesn't matter what caucus you're a part of. Doesn't matter if it's Mises Caucus or one of the other ones. It's great if you want to join the Mises Caucus with us, but doesn't matter. But you have to get into the party. You have to support Angela McArdle for being chair, and then we could really do something pretty goddamn incredible. So that's what I'll leave it on that. I'll give you more information as things move along. But I'm very seriously looking at this.
When you win, can I be press secretary? I want to be out there dealing with the press on a daily basis. I've been loyal, done some podcast episodes. I'm willing to come on the campaign trail. I want that press secretary job.
I just feel like you've got this inclination to consolidate power and turn against me. You've done it before on much lower levels. Do I trust you as press secretary? Maybe. I'll let you audition for the role. We'll find something for you in my cabinet, Rob.